Welcome to lecture number two in Great Christians of the Past. And we're going to look today at Mays Jackson. And his birth is November 23rd, 1922. Brother Mays passed away on May the 16th, 1996. He died at 73 years of. He was buried in Decatur in DeKalb County, Georgia. He's one of the greatest old-fashioned evangelists to ever come on the scene. His full name was Mays Cleveland Jackson, Jr. He was an American Independent Baptist evangelist. I guess he was best known by his friends. They just called him Brother Mays. He hosted something called the Truck Driver Special on radio. It was a long-running radio series, popular among truckers and their families. Normally it ran Monday through Friday. All across the country, he said, called it some running from border to border and coast to coast. He also was editor of the Preacher's Gold Mine. It was a sermon Bible study magazine for ministers, and a series of these were put together and called the Golden Nuggets. He was raised in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Mays Jackson made his home in Atlanta, Georgia. His wife was known as Sister Dot. She worked with him in his ministry. In fact, really, Dot was responsible for having Brother Jackson to collect sermon outlines from preachers. She put them together in the Preacher's Gold Mine. God bless Brother Mays and Dot with three sons. The oldest son is Lowell, and then you have the middle-aged son, Nolan, and the youngest son is Dale. Nolan is pastor in the state of Georgia and also does Christian counseling. Brother Mays pastored two churches before going into full-time evangelism. The churches where he pastored were Jackson's Creek Baptist Church, South Carolina, and in addition, he was pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Greer, South Carolina. In his later years, he was one of the best-loved radio preachers of his day. His radio broadcast was aired all over America, came on a daily schedule, especially in the southern states. God touched many lives through the consistent, spirit-filled ministry of Mays Jackson. He traveled up and down the highways of our nation, preaching the gospel, and is now in glory with his Lord. He loved attention-getting, catchy sermon titles. He was a natural sermon builder. Many preachers have been helped. They've been blessed through the ministry of Brother Mays. He moderated many camp meetings in the eastern part of the states. Mays Jackson was a preacher's preacher. We're going to hear a little bit of a sermon that he preached years ago on What's the Shouting All About? I hope you enjoy a part of this message. We'll not be able to play it all. I hope you enjoy a part of this message by Brother Mays.
With a loud voice, they were shouting. They were praising God. And the Bible said because Jesus was coming home to Jerusalem, riding a lowly beast, they shouted and they praised God with a loud voice for the almighty work that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. I looked this way, and I'm going to tell you what they said. They said, stop that crowd from shouting. Don't let them holler anymore. We don't like shouting. Somebody said, I don't like shouting. You better not go to heaven. You'll have a nervous breakdown. Say amen right there. Somebody said, I don't like shouting. Listen, I won't tell you what makes shout in heaven, and I'll paint reading the scripture. You know what makes shouting up in heaven? Not my preaching. Oh, not the singing of the choir. Not your teaching. Not what you do. But when you get an old sinner to come down the aisle and trust in the Lord, the Bible said, likewise, thus rejoicing in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repents. That'll set heavenly shouting, rejoicing up in heaven when a sinner comes home to God. Now notice what he said. And they said, rebuke thy disciples, Master. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now notice what Jesus said, and I'm going to let you be seated, and I'm going to pray and bring you the message. What's all that shouting about? Jesus said, if I stop these folks from shouting, rocks will stand and sing and praise my name. Well, think about that. He said, if I stop this shouting, rocks will praise me. Something's going to praise God. Now, let me give you something, and I'm going to let you be seated, and I'm going to bring you the message of what's all that shouting about. The Bible said during the millennial reign of Christ that the curse will be lifted out here on the trees and the rocks. And the Bible said the trees will clap their hands. Well, they're going to shout. The trees are going to clap their hands. And the Bible said the mountains will sing to his height. Oh, they'll be shouting. But I've got news for you. You that are saved, the Bible said, rejoice, not because the devils or demons are subject unto you, but shout because your name is recorded over yonder. And what a blessing that is. And in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message. What's all that shouting about? But I want you to be seated all over the house, if you will. Beloved, bow your head for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the camp meeting. Thank you. We've got something to shout about. Lord, in this world of sin, in this world of so much sorrow and sickness, I'm glad we've got something worth shouting for. We've got something worth living for. And I pray that everyone in this camp meeting tonight will be blessed by the Spirit of God. Thank you for Brother Kenneth. Thank you for this great choir. Thank you, our Father, for the quartet and everyone that's assembled here. Lord, lift us up above the shadows. I pray that this may be a glorious, victorious night. Oh, God, and we'll praise the name that's above every name. And all that you do for us, we'll thank you, Lord. Save somebody, somebody that's never been saved, never known God. I pray that you'll be saved this night. And I pray for that Christian. That Christian will give praise and honor to the Christ that saved them. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I announced last evening, I preached on what's all that shouting about. Now, I hear somebody say, Brother Lee, do you think it's important that we shout or praise the Lord? The Psalms were written for praise, mostly. If you read the Psalms, you'll hear him say, praise God. Praise the Lord. I believe if you'll check up and see what God's done for you, my friend, you've got a right to shout. Every one of God's children ought to praise him. I tell you, we're too quiet about what God has done for us. And you say, preacher, are you praising the Lord? I certainly am. I'm glad he's been good to me. I look back and see what God's done. And I praise his blessed name. Well, let's look at my text tonight. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus was going home the last time. You remember when you went home the last time and mother was living or daddy was living and then God took him on to heaven. That last trip home was a wonderful time. Here Jesus is going back to Jerusalem. He's going to be crucified. But as he goes with them, they call it Palm Sunday. The Bible said he rode a colt that no man had ever ridden. And as he went in, they shouted praises. I want you to know, they looked at the Lord. They saw the King of Glory. And they cried, Hosanna! Praise God for the one that came to Jerusalem as the King. And they shouted, blessed be his name. And as they were shouting, the Bible said they took palm branches and laid them down and the coals down before him. And they started praising his name. But there was a crowd that didn't like that praise. They didn't want Jesus to get the praise. Let me say to you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that deserves our praise. Thank God what he did when he saved you. You ought to praise him. What he did for you today, you ought to praise him. I tell you, he's worthy of honor and power and glory. And these people that stood there on the streets of Jerusalem, they couldn't be quiet. They were standing there clapping their hands and crying, Hallelujah, as he comes in, the King of Glory. I want to mention by way of introduction, four people I believe that was in that crowd that just couldn't be quiet that day. Let me say, somebody said, preacher, you believe in shouting if you can help it. I ain't going to try to help it. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to open up and praise his name. I believe reason the crowd that stood there, as Jesus came home the last time on that beach, I believe there's a little old boy sitting there, and I can see him as he clasped his hands, and he said, "Hallelujah to the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." I see a Pharisee walk over and say, "Son, you have to stop that shouting." And he said, "Mister, I came. Did you see that man riding that beast? Said one day I came to him. I had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And he took my blunt and fed 5,000 hungry men. Mister, I'm going to praise his name. I want you to know I'm so glad the Lord can take your lunch. And the Lord can take my lunch. And brother, he can feed a multitude. The Bible said he blessed it. And he broke it. And he fed the multitude." Do you think that little boy could stop shouting? What's all the shouting about, son? He said, "I know the one that's on that donkey. Thank God he took my lunch and broke it." I see another person in that crowd that couldn't quit shouting. You say, who was he? Very meek and lowly in spirit. But he wasn't always that way. I see him as he clapped his hands and he said, "Hallelujah." And as he praises God, a Pharisee says, "Why don't you hush? Why are you shouting, man?" He said, "You ought to see me. I remember the night when I first saw the man on that beast." He said, "I lived in the tombs. I was bound to sin." Oh, he said, "I was a wild man. I was excommunicated from my home. My children was afraid of me. But one night upon the sea came a little boat across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm arose. And as I stood up in that cemetery, I peered out at that little boat, and a man got up and held up his hand and said, 'Peace, Michelle.' That man said, 'I want to tell you something. I was a man that had a storm in my soul. I was filled with demons, and I'm glad the same man that filled the storm stood up in my life and said, 'Peace, Michelle.' I want to stop here long enough to say this. I was in a storm one night many years ago. I didn't know where to turn. The old boat was about to go down. But Jesus stepped up, hallelujah. And Jesus said, 'Peace, Michelle.' I want to tell you, a calmness came over my soul. I've never not known that." You say, "Well, what's all that shouting about?" That wild man said, "That man on that donkey came to me. He said, 'Now go home, and my kids are not afraid of me. Now I go home, and I've got a happy home.'" Mister, let me say, that's something worth shouting about. Did you know that? I see another quicker in the crowd. You say, "Who is that little straight lady?" She says, "Mister, I want to praise him as he rides down the streets of Jerusalem." And I say, "What meaneth the shout? Why are you shouting, lady?" And she says, "Preacher, I'll tell you why I'm shouting. I'll tell that Pharisee there too. Said, you know, I've had an issue of blood, and I've bent double, and I've spent all my money, had nothing to pay. And one day I heard a new doctor was in town. His name was the great physician. He sympathized in Jesus. And I knew if I could just touch the system of his garment, I'd be made whole. Thank God, looks like somebody in this camp meeting could touch the hem of his garment. Oh, mother, can you touch it? Have you got enough faith to reach out and touch the hem of his garment?" I want to tell you, that's shouting to me. I'm glad I touched it one day. Well, when you touch the hem of his garment, that little lady said, "He straightened up my life." I'm glad when I touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Thank God, he straightened up my life. And then I see another, and that man is standing there bright-eyed, and he's holding up both hands and praising Jesus. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, a Pharisee said, Why do you shout, Mister?" He said, "One sat alone beside the highway begging. I was blind and could not see. And said he came and put mud in my eyes and told me to go down to the pool of Siloam. And I did, and I came away. And after I cleansed my eyes in the waters of Siloam, I came back seeing. Once I was blind, but now I see. Thank God, I'm so glad the Lord Jesus Christ opened up my eyes." And you say, "Preacher, what's all that shouting about?" We're shouting because the Lord has opened our eyes. We're shouting because the Lord straightened up our lives. We're shouting because the Lord pained us and sent us home where we could be happy in our homes. We're shouting, brother, because the Lord will take our little lunch and feed a multitude. You say, preacher, that's wonderful. And as Jesus went home, they shouted. But if you've got your pencils, I want you to write three things about the word shout down in the margin of your Bible, if you will. And we'll look at these three things. And I'm speaking on what all that shouting about. The first shout is the lost shout. Did you know there's some people in the Bible that lost their shout? And it's sad when you see a church that loses its shout. It's sad when you see a preacher that loses his shout. I tell you, they know me in Atlanta, Georgia as the Shouting Baptist. Somebody said, but Brother Nate, aren't you ashamed? No. Praise God, I hope I can shout so loud at Winkler's Grove that a rabbit won't run through this country for 6 months. Amen. Well, you say, preacher, that's shouting. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Bible tells us about the lost shout. People that one day shouted. People that one day bring old time religion. I don't believe you have to shout like me. Some of you just cry, you're shouting. And some of you just sit there and holler, praise the Lord. We don't all shout alike. I'm glad when God begins to move upon your soul. I believe there'll be some kind of expression of giving hallelujahs and praise to the God that saved us, and the God that loved us, and the God that blessed us. But notice this all shout. The Bible said that the Philistines, the enemies of God, heard the shout in the camp. And they said, God's in the camp. I want to tell you something. These old dried churches where there's never an amen. Why, you don't have to worry about God being around there. But the Bible said the Philistines heard the shout in the camp. And they were afraid. They said, God, in the midst of that camp. And brother, when I get up here to preach, I want God to be in the middle of this pulpit. And when that choir sings, I like to have God in the choir and God in the quartet. And brother, the devil's afraid when God's in the camp. And you say, preacher, what happened? The Bible said they lost the shout. You read that, 1 Samuel chapter 4. When you get home, it's an amazing chapter. The Bible said when they lost their shout and God departed from the camp, they lost three things. Would you write these three things down? They lost in 1 Samuel when they lost their shout. The first thing they lost was the battle. Folks, this is a war. We better fight the battle for righteousness and God and the church. Brother, I tell you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. I want to be a good soldier and fight the battle. I'm glad we're on the winning side. Greater is he that's in you. You say, but I have drunkenness in my family. You still can claim the victory. You say, preacher, I've got sin in my soul. Oh, you can still say, God, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Thank God there's victory. I don't care what you're facing. I'm glad there's victory for the Christian. You don't have to be defeated. There's more of us than be within. Praise God, we're on the winning side. I'll tell you something before I get off of this battle situation. I've read the last chapter. I know who's the victor. Thank God he's the mighty conqueror. I'm glad he's got an army of righteous people. And brother, we're on the winning side. Oh, you say, preacher, when they lost the shout, they lost the battle. Now let me show you something real quick, and I'll have to hurry. They lost 34,000 men in one day. They didn't have nuclear war. And by the way, let me help you with this nuclear war thing. There's not going to be a nuclear war. You say Russia. No, Russia's not going to blow this thing up. Simon Peter said this thing's preserved under fire and judgment. God's going to destroy this thing, not man. Man didn't make it. Man's not going to destroy it. I also know God's going to take care of it. And God's going to judge it. And God's going to do what needs to be done to it. You say, preacher, what did they do back before they had drones? Back before they had cannons? Back before they had airplanes and wind bombs. You say, preacher, what did they have? They had swords and they killed 34,000 in one day. You say, well, they lost the shout. They lost the battle. Friend, if you lose your praise for God, listen to me, the joy of the Lord's your strength. The praise of God will keep you going. They'll keep you on the first line of duty. They'll keep you in the battle. But when they lost the scalp, they lost the battle. Secondly, they lost the Ark of the Covenant. You know what that means? They lost the presence of God. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't live a day without Him. Oh, I can't take a step without Him. He's my strength. But as long as Jesus goes with me, praise God, I won't have anything to worry about. As long as Jesus goes with you, you won't have anything to worry about. Now, let me give you one thing about this Ark of the Covenant. They hid it on a man's farm. Boy, I'd like to have a farm and have it on my farm. The Bible said they hid it on Abinadab's farm. And you know what happened on his farm while that ark was out there? Well, the Bible said God blessed that farm. You know what I believe happened? I believe every old chicken laid double yoked eggs. Say amen like that. Bless God, I believe it's pure cream. I was drinking some sweet milk the other day and it said 60%. I thought, bless God, if our ark was around here, it'd be 100%. Amen. The Bible said, and God blessed it. Oh, you say, preacher, as long as the ark was with the people of God, I want to tell you they were blessed by His presence. When you come to this church and God's not here, you might as well go home. Well, when you sing and God's not in your singing, when you preach and God's not in your preaching, we might as well go home. Notice now they lose the ark, now they lose the battle, but they lost the glory. That's bad, mister. When they lost their shout, they lost the glory of God. That's bad. The Bible said Eli was a fat man. He's 98. He was hitting the wagon. And he's an old man. And the man from Benjamin ran up to the wagon and said, Eli, we lost the battle. Your two boys, Hope and I, and Phinehas, have just been killed. The Bible said that fat man turned over and said, well, let me give you something before I get off of this. Do you know what the Bible says? You know two things that a woman don't want to tell you? Let me ask you. You know two things a woman won't tell you? Her weight, not her age. Say amen right there. There are two things a woman won't tell you. Her weight. And God protected a woman with both of those in the Bible. You say, I didn't know that. Yeah, you'll never find where it says that a woman was fat in the Bible. But he said, Eli was fat. He was a heavy man. God, and let me tell you something else. God never told the age of an old woman in the Bible. You say, yes, he did. I beg your pardon. I searched this book. He never did. But in 23rd chapter of Genesis in verse 1, one time, God told the age of a woman that was 127. It said, and Sarai lived, and she died at the age of 127. That's the only woman in the Bible that God gave her age when she was old. So you ladies can feel good. God has got to protect you by the way and the book of the Bible. Oh, you say, well, preacher, what happened? Bible said that heavy man, that fat man, fell off of that wagon. And when he fell off, there's a woman screamed out in the house. And the man from Benjamin's camp ran down and ran in. And a woman was giving birth to a little boy. And when she gave birth to a little boy, the maiden that was there that gave birth sent the boy. And when she heard that her husband had been killed tonight, and when she heard her father-in-law had fallen off the wagon and broken his neck, you know what she said? Take that baby and then in his blood. Oh, the glory has departed from Israel. Ichabod means the glory had departed. And when she heard the battle had been lost and the glory was gone, she said, name that little baby of mine Ichabod. I don't want it. Take him away. The glory of God departed. I want to say to you that are here, beloved, listen to me. When the glory of God departs from your home, what is it, God? When the glory of God departs from your life, what do you have? When the glory of God departs from your church, what do you have, beloved? And so we see the lost shout, L-O-S-T. Secondly, we see the loud shout in the Bible. You say, where is it? And Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says, and Israel was coming to take Jericho. Jericho was an exceeding great city at that time. And in that city, they had a bunch of people. And in that city, God said, I'm going to let you overpower that great city called Jericho. Here's a little bunch of Israelites marching. And when they get down there, they find three people, or three kings. Number one, they found a scoffing people. The Jerichoites said, who are you to come down here? Why, you can't take this city. They scoffed and they mocked at the people of God. Let me say something to you, beloved, real quickly. I want you to know, when you live for Jesus, where you work up in the furniture factory or wherever you work, they'll scoff at you and laugh at you. And sometimes your own family will make fun of you for going to church. I want to tell you, this world is not a friend of God. The Bible said the world is an enemy of God. And you hear me tonight, they'll scoff at you and laugh at you. Not only were there scoffers in Jericho, but secondly, there was a scarlet woman, a sinful woman, and her name was Rahab the harlot. Now notice something, the scoffers didn't believe in God. But there was a sinful woman that believed in the blood. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I believe in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know what that woman used to, how do you know she believed in the blood? What looked this one? You know what happened? They told her, said, you put a scarlet cord in the window. Put your daddy behind that blood. God will take care of you. Get your people and get them behind the blood. Rahab, you'll be taken care of in your family. You'll get them behind the blood. You say, preacher, how can I keep my family safe? Get them behind the blood. Oh, thank God there's power in the blood. I'm glad there's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Now watch this picture. I want to show you something. And when she put that scarlet cord up there, and it's blood. There's a man years ago called Sad Williams. He never smiled. He never had any joy. He got on his dope. And I mean, he became a terrible dope addict. 11 times, Sad Williams took a sharp instrument and tried to commit suicide. But after 11 attempts of suicide, he went out and heard a little Salvation Army band 100 years ago. And in England, that William, what was so sad, followed that little band, a little band singing about Jesus. Went into a little mission and got saved. Read his Bible for 2 solid years. And after 2 solid years, William Cowper wrote these great words. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunged, that he had flood loose all their sin. You see, this harlot, this sinful woman, she believed, like William Cowper, she believed in the power of the blood. Thank God I still believe in the power of the blood. Not only do you see the scoffers of Jericho and a sinful woman, but you hear a shout so loud that the Bible said, when God said to that little Israelite band, march around one time the first day, one time the second day, one time the third day. And he said, go around for 6 days, one time each day. But get up early on the seventh day, march around 7 times, and sound the trumpet. And then they said, stop. Now let me give you something. That shout was so loud that the walls fell down. Brother, you talk about a loud shout. The walls came tumbling down. I believe we ought to shout so loud, bless your heart. The walls of unbelief and infidelity come tumbling down. Oh, you say, preacher, listen, brother, I want to show you something. Hey, listen, did you know the walls didn't come down till after they shouted? You know what's the matter with you and me? We wait till after the walls come down before we shout. Let's go. They stood down and hollered, we're going to shout on the credit and believe they'll come down. And they ran back and shouted. And the Bible said when they shouted that the walls of Jericho fell flat. F-L-A-T. Those walls. Now, Brother Kenneth's been over there a lot of times. He'll tell you that there were brick after brick after brick after brick. I don't care how strong the devil may build the walls. Let me tell you something. When God breathes from heaven, the walls are coming tumbling down. I'm glad they shouted and then the walls came tumbling down. Now, you met my wife when it's up here, and I wanted my wife to come. She said like that, oh, I wish I was over there with you and Brother Kenneth and the church this way. And her mother's sick and with us, and her aunts in the intensive care, and her uncles in the hospital back. But listen, she couldn't come. But she's always kidding me about the church. Did you know I can shout at the drop of the hat and drop the hat myself? Say amen like that. That's God, I don't have to have any encouragement. I can just rear back and holler. And I remember one week in my life, everything went wrong. Did you ever have one of those weeks when nothing went right? I mean everything went wrong. I mean every telephone call was bad. Everything just looked like the bottom and falling out. And Friday came on that week, and a man came into our office and brought 2,500 books, and they were printed wrong. And he wasn't a Christian, and I didn't say anything to him. And I was so discouraged when he left. My wife looked over at me and said, shout now. Shout now. And I said, you better back up, because when I holler this time, I said, bless God, they'll know it all over his land. I said, I believe shouting when you're down. Shout when you're up. Shout because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother, we have a right to praise the Lord. But the scripture said they shouted so loud that the walls came tumbling down. Now notice, I gave you the law shout and then the loud shout. Let me give you the third in the loud. There's the Lord shout. You say, Brother Mays, did the Lord shout? He went to the tomb of Lazarus and he shouted, Lazarus, come out of that grave. And Lazarus came forth. When he was on the cross, he shouted, my God, why? For the Bible says there'll be three things that's going to result because of that shout. Would you write them down? And I'll close. You say, preacher, what will be the result of the shout of the Lord when he comes? First of all, there'll be a resurrection. Oh, Paul said it in this life only. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. If in this life we have hope. I mean, when your mama died, now watch this, I'm going to make it personal. And you brought that mother down here, that precious little body that worked for you when you couldn't work for yourself. If all the hope that you have is in that casket or outside of that cemetery, you're miserable. You know where my hope is. It's a living hope, praise God. And I'm glad because he lives. We'll live forever. Thank God for a living hope tonight. Because he lives, I'll see my mother again. Because he lives, you'll see your mother again. Now watch this, the Bible says, the Bible said, and the dead in Christ first. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful sight? The dead in Christ shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Resurrection. Resurrection. When I was at the graveside of my day, it's raining that day up at Fletcher, North Carolina. I don't know whether you've ever been to Fletcher or not, but it was raining. And I never will forget. I stepped outside the two little tents. It wasn't raining hard. And I said to my mother and my brother and friends that gathered on those tents, I said, we're going to deposit that body. As a seed, we're going to deposit that body. And I said, some golden daybreak. Jesus is coming with a shout, bless God. And I said, my daddy's going to come out of there. And I gave a commitment. When I did, it was over about 50 yards. And it was raining that day, just pitiful. And I looked over about, oh, I guess 50 yards over there. And you know what I saw? I saw a man put a bugle up his mouth. My daddy was a veteran. And he gave taps. And as he was giving those taps, the Holy Ghost said, look out one of his tent maids. And I looked out one of that tent, and you know what the Spirit of God impressed my heart with? He said, son, the next time your daddy hears a horn, or they blow a horn for your daddy, it won't be taps, it'll be reveille. Thank God, it won't be goodbye, it'll be good morning. Well, said the next time, hey, if they sound the horn for your daddy, said it'll be getting up morning. I want you to know I like to have a spade of rapper under that tent. I was sitting on the edge, I got to hollering and shouting, and they thought I was crazy. Now I looked out, and the rain was coming down, the Holy Ghost seemed to say to me, boy, and when that next horn blows for your daddy, it'll be an unclouded day. Thank God there won't be any rain. Oh, Oh, thank the Lord, there won't be a cloud in the sky. I'm glad when the Lord shouts out. You say, preacher, what will it mean? It'll mean resurrection. Number two, all it mean resurrection will mean reunion. Glory to God, he said, we'll be caught up together. Oh, what a meeting in the air. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. I want to see Jesus, first of all. I'm sure that you want to see him before anybody else. You want to see the Lord. Well, it's going to be a time when I see Jesus. Oh, but listen, I believe there with Jesus will be mom and dad. We'll have a time together. Oh, we'll have a reunion. It'll never break out. Thank God we'll have a reunion where there'll be no sad farewells. We'll be caught up together. Reunion. Let me give you something. When I was a little boy, I was called with my dad and mother to go to my grandmother's house. She just died. She lived in a little town called Eddywall in North Carolina. It's up above Hendersonville, Bavard, if you've ever been in that area. We went up to Eddywall. My little grandmother was dying. She was blind the last 2 years of her life. I didn't know all of this until after I got a little older. My daddy told me exactly what happened. But I remember walking in that room. She died at home. She was blind. I remember that. And I remember what grandmother said. She said, "Mays, that was my daddy." And my daddy walked over and said, "Yes, mother." And she said, "Meet me there where the tree of life is blooming. Meet me there." And daddy reached over and kissed his mother and said, "Mother, I'll meet you again someday. I never will forget it." Daddy told me exactly what happened, but I remember the commotion and the crying in that room. I was just a little bitty boy. And I remember that grandmother said, "Lillian?" My mother's name was Lillian, and she came over to the bed, and Daddy told me later that grandmother looked up out of those blinded eyes and said, "Honey, I can't see you. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to be with Jesus, and I'll wait on you just inside the gate." And then I remember vaguely this. Daddy told me just what happened later. My grandmother said, "Mace Jr.?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I went over and stood by her bed, and she took those little bony fingers and wrapped them over my eyes and said, "Son, I can't see you. But the next time, I'll be able to see you." Oh, she said, "Meet me there." I made grandmother a promise I'd meet her over there in heaven, and you hear me? When I got saved, I went back up to Eddywall one night, and I went out there and stood at that graveside and knelt down. And I said, "Jesus, you tell grandmother I'm going to meet her on the other side." Oh, you say, "Preacher, what about the Lord shout?" It'll mean resurrection. Oh, it'll mean reunion. And then last, it'll mean reward. He'll come back and reward us. Some of you say, "I come to church and I tithe and I get my money and nobody appreciates me." Payday hadn't come yet, dear. Well, you say, "Brother Mays, what about the reward that's going to come?" Brother, it's coming. Don't you worry about that. I serve a great paymaster. He knows every step. He knows every tear. He knows every heartache. He knows every burden that you have. I want to tell you, you'll not lose the reward. Thank God when the Lord shouts from heaven, it'll be rewarding. We'll rise to meet the everlasting prize. Just to see him. Well, that'll be all the reward I want. I want to tell you something. I don't care if the streets are not gold. Of course, the Bible said they're transparent gold, and I believe that, but I don't care if they're not. The Bible said the walls of jasper. I don't care if they are, but that's not what I want to see. I want to look upon the one when he holds up his hand. He said, "I did it all for you." Woo! Praise God. You talk about shouting. I want to tell you something. I look upon his face. The one that saved me by grace. I'll be able to say, that's all the reward I'll ever want. I heard you shout. I came to meet you in the air. And look on your face. It's all the reward I want. Ever hit by the dragon.